Past couple weeks with the sermon being online, we had some issues. One Sunday we had no power. I think the website changed the servers and had to go back. They were having some issues there, and you know, they're working to get that resolved and stuff. So we've had some issues getting some lessons out on there, but this one gets put out there. It's probably going to leave most people with more questions maybe than answers. This is something that I was looking at, and I was going to do two lessons on it about the mark of Cain, but I decided that it left too many things open, so I condensed it into just one lesson. Matthew 5:21-24, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' you shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." You know, a lot of times when Jesus talks about certain things, we think that he's simply talking about here. And then when he says, he gives examples of people's names and stuff. He goes back to Abraham, you know, like he told the Pharisees, "Before Abraham was, I am." And so, but when he says, it was said to those of old, right? And that was a question that you'd ask this morning about the murder, right? And he says here, it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder." So the old that he's talking about and this story that he's doing, he's going back and he's telling us a story about Cain. He's telling us here, we see your brother, we see the altar, we see days of old, we see him being angry with his brother. And he says here, for no reason. Sometimes there's a reason to be angry with one another. Sometimes there's a reason to be angry with your brother or your sister or your mother or your father. But he specifically says here, for no reason. But all of this, he goes back, and there's another time that is recounted of the story of Cain. And so I believe that Jesus here is going back and saying and showing us the heart of Cain, that we can say, "A danger of the council, and you fool, danger of hellfire." And Cain had become angry with his brother because of the gift that was brought to the altar. He should have reconciled with his brother, but Cain chose to do something different. And so the mark that Cain got, we're going to see what that mark was, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that the mark wasn't. But with man's wisdom, they thought this is what the mark was going to be, okay? Genesis 4:3-5, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell." One of the things that we do when we see that someone has become upset and that we are close to them, and certainly these brothers were close, became upset, is that we try to help someone. And so there's this anger that we get that it'll pass, right? We just want to be a little turd that day. We want to be mad. We want to whine a little bit. And then we just need somebody to listen to us. And then it just kind of goes away, right? There's that anger. And then there's this anger that happens where something has changed inside of you. And when somebody comes and they try to comfort you and try to make a change, you've made a decision in your mind. And that kind of anger is a very dangerous anger. But that's what's happened here. Cain got upset with his brother and what was happening, and he wasn't going to let it go. I don't know if he knew exactly what he was going to do right then and there. I have a feeling that he did, and that's why the Lord asked him these questions. Remember, Jesus said, "Angry with your brother without a cause." He had no reason to be angry with Abel. Abel brought the right offering. Had he brought the right offering, there would have been no problem. But he's the one that, and it was no cause for him to be angry with his brother. But his brothers received praise from God and from his parents, and he did not. And he became angry with that. And like I said, that's a type of anger that had set in that he was going to do something about it. You can move on into 6 and 7, verses 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?" See, God came to him because he knew that this anger that Cain was feeling was something different. Not that it was different to God, but he knew what was happening here. And so God came to him and he asked him, he said, "Why are you angry?" And see, there's anger that you can talk through it and you reason with it. And that's what God always wants to do. He wants to reason with us about our anger. He wants to reason with us about our salvation. He wants to reason with us with Scripture. He came to Cain and he said, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen?" And that's your face. You know, you just get that old, you know, just that mean look on your face, that scowl on your face. Kind of like Clint Eastwood had in those movies, the Westerns. He'd walk around, he always had that tough look on his face, you know. He says, "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" And that's what he told him right there. It's what we just said. If you hadn't have done the right thing, none of this would have been happening. But he had become, this anger had pushed him to another spot, and he wasn't going to listen to reason, even with God talking to him. And you think, well, how can people not listen to God when he reasons with them and says something to them? How do they do that? Well, we do it all the time. We read Scripture, and God says one thing, and we do another. We do it all the time. But see, God came to him, and you see what happened here? He saw that anger, and he came to him. He says, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door." What he was saying, being angry is not sin. Even being really mad is not a sin. It's what happens after that. You understand? And see, we think that if you just become angry and you show yourself and you act a fool, that's the sin. No. That's what starts. If you can't let that go, it starts to take root. And I pray all the time, "Lord, don't let me get a bitter root, because I have a hard enough time staying on top of the ground. I don't need to be digging down, right? Don't let me get a bitter root. If I'm angry with something, let me face it. Let me deal with it. Let me bring it up. If I can't let it go, don't let me get a bitter root." Because I know that I could have been like Cain here. I can understand how he felt. He became mad. And it was a type of madness that he wasn't going to let go. Anyway, he says, the sin, its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. See, he's telling him that you have the ability to stop this. You have the ability to stop this. Now remember, we're talking about the mark of Cain. That's going to be important, because we're going to throw something in, right in the end, that you may not see coming. Okay? We're talking about the mark of Cain. He got mad. God told him he had a choice. He didn't listen. He followed through with his example. All right, Genesis 4:9, then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" And he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" This was after he had taken him out and killed him. So God came to him the first time, and he tried to stop this, and then he confronted Cain. Right? It's just like my wife always said to our kids and even to our grandkids, if I'm asking you the question, I already know the answer. So don't lie to me. This is God. And so when he came and he said, "Where's your brother Abel?" He knew what had happened. God wasn't surprised. But Cain lied about it. So see, you have two things that happened right here. One was his mindset, and one what he put his hand to. And that was dictated by the mindset that God warned him about. This is the process that James is talking about, that when desire is conceived, it brings forth this and does this, and then it brings forth death, right? We always think that the temptation is the sin, and we think, oh my gosh, why am I thinking about this, right? Be glad that you see it that way, because that is the Holy Spirit bringing conviction. That's the Word bringing conviction. And the Bible says, even with the Gentiles, you know, the God works through the conscience to let you know the difference between right and wrong. Why am I doing this? I shouldn't be doing this. Thank God that you still feel that way, because that's what he did with Cain. He came to him and said, don't do this. I know what you're getting ready to do. And then after it happened, he gave him a chance to tell the truth. And he didn't. You see, it's one thing to do wrong, but it's another thing to lie about it. We all find ourselves in a situation where we realize we've made a mistake. And you're like, I shouldn't have done that. But see, then when somebody comes to you, like God came back to Abel, he made it worse by lying. And I can't express enough the anger that he was not willing to let go. And most of the time, when we get angry, really angry, and we think we're in that spot, and we've done something like thrown the phone against the wall, the cell phone, I remember as a kid, the gaming controllers that you would do, and the game would cheat you. You know, it wasn't you that made it. It was the game that cheated you. You just try to really break that controller, right? You know, literally, I have taken something that is inanimate and taken it outside and took a hammer and beat it into ash, right? And I'm like, ha. But you know what happens to my anger after that? It goes away. But I understand this anger that he had that wasn't going to go away. Even understand this, even after he killed his brother, it didn't go away. Because God asked him, where's your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I supposed to know where he's at all the time? So he still had that anger. I'm telling you, that's a dangerous place to be. We're talking about the mark of Cain. Cain was given the mark because of something that changed in him. It wasn't just the anger. It wasn't just the murder. It was the fact that even after the murder, he did not let that anger go. And so that mark that he received is the kind of anger that only one person has. That's the devil. You do wrong, own up to it. I'm a man, so I'm going to say be a man. If someone in a man's mind, if someone is behind them, they're going to protect them. If someone stands beside a man, he's going to respect them. He's going to fight with them. But if someone stands in front of a man, that's a big difference. If you've done something wrong, own up to it. Don't lie about it. If not, you are in danger of following a path that he was on, because that's what happened to him. He did wrong, and he lied about it. And there's only one person that after they've done wrong, they do not care about anything else, and that's the devil. That's going to be real important because we're talking about the mark of Cain. So Genesis 4:8. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and he killed him. Now I want to ask you something. Where does it say that he killed him with a rock? If I would have asked you before, how did Cain kill Abel, what would you have told me? I'm going to tell you why I believe that God said this, that he simply said he rose up against him, okay? If you believe that he was killed with a rock, then you believe in the book that was written called the Book of Jubilees. And scholars say that this was written around 100 B.C. According to this book, it has, this has 50 chapters, has 1,341 verses. The Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church accepts this as Scripture. According to this book, Hebrew is in the language of heaven. Hebrew is the language of heaven. And originally spoken by all creatures in the garden, animals and man. And I never thought about it. Did the animals speak? I'd say, well, no, they didn't speak. Right? Wasn't that what you'd say? Do you think the cow said, what are you going to call me? Moo. Right? But you know what? The serpent spoke to Eve. I don't know. Anyway, So it was originally spoken by all creatures in the garden. So the animals spoke Hebrews, right? The animals lost their power of speech when Adam and Eve were expelled. Now, this is from this book. Following the deluge, which was the flood, the earth was apportioned into three divisions for three sons of Noah, and it mentions the 16 grandsons. And after the destruction of the Tower of Babel, their families were scattered to their respective allotments, and Hebrew was forgotten until Abraham was taught it by the angels. See, there's a lot of things in this book that doesn't seem to make sense that man could indulge in, but this is in this book is where it says that he was killed with a rock. Scripture never said he was killed with a rock. And then there's another theory that prevails here. And remember, we're talking about the mark of Cain, so this is going to be important. It may not sound like it. But there's another thing that he said that it was called the first blade. That he was given a physical mark. And it was called the first blade. And that's the physical mark that they said he was given it. But that's a representation of the jawbone of a donkey that he fashioned from the jawbone of a donkey that he took from the animals that Abel had used to sacrifice, and he fashioned it into a blade and he killed his brother with it. And so when I told you the first blade and we were talking about it, you knew what I was talking about. You said the jawbone of a donkey. And so we're talking about a physical mark here that would have been put on Cain. And so they're saying this was the mark that was put on Cain. And if you look at the jawbone of a donkey, it was like this, and it had some teeth down here. And that's what that was supposed to represent. Kind of looks like a boomerang with two dots beside it. And when we start thinking about all this sort of stuff, and if you believe in that theory about the first blade, then you have to go into this other stuff that's talked about where that first blade was had power to kill demons, and that Cain, when he died, he became a soldier of hell and all this stuff. Right? See, these are things of man, the mark, the physical mark, thing of a man, right? And the first blade and the killed him with a rock. These are ideas of man, and they kind of make sense to us a little bit, right? But see, Scripture just simply says that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. See, that's how deceptive Satan is, because he can slide something in, and you say, how did Eve not know that don't eat of it? Don't eat of it, right? Well, you would have sworn that the Scripture said he killed him with a rock, because you've heard it so many times. But it doesn't say that. The Book of Jubilees does. And so what I'm trying to say here is that our idea of this mark that's put on Cain, we have many ideas of physical mark. We actually have a depiction of the physical mark, where it came from, the idea of the first blade, the jawbone of a donkey, or the idea of other things that God simply made Cain known for what he did. Okay? Genesis 3:12 through 13, then the woman said... Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. Verse 13, and the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Okay, these two people, when they were asked a question, it's always pointed out here that each one blamed each other. But they didn't lie. Did the woman deceive the man? She did. He said, eat of this. Right? And he said, the woman you gave me to be with, she gave me of the tree and I ate it. And he asked verse 13, the serpent deceived me. So I'll take back that she deceived. The Scripture says that she was deceived and Adam fell into transgression. So anyway, you gave to me and the tree and I ate. He didn't say that it was her fault. He said exactly what happened. They did not lie. So, after this happened, you'd think that the first murder, wouldn't the first sin would have been something that they would have received a mark for, that they were the ones responsible, that the two of them would have been the ones responsible, right? You'd have thought that as opposed to maybe the first murder, because this was the murder of all mankind. This brought about physical death and separation from God. But they didn't receive the mark. And I'm telling you, the reason they didn't receive the mark is because of what we see in Cain versus what we see here. They didn't lie when God asked them. They confronted their sins. They let what they had done wrong be known, and they were striving to go past it. Cain didn't do that. Cain received a mark because of what was in his mind and what he put his hand to. Cain lied. Where's your brother? He said, I don't know. You see, not only do we see the first murder, but we also see again deception to try and cover that lie. That was not from God. That was from the devil. The mark that Cain received was to show that he was of the devil, not from God. See, now your wheels might be turning and you might think, I think I know what you're going to throw in here at the end, a mark from the devil, right? Cain received a mark because of the anger that he would not let go. Cain received the mark because of the mindset that he had committed himself to. And Cain received the mark of what he put his hands to. 1 John 3:10 through 12 says, "In the children, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not from God, nor is he who does not love his brother." Here we go again with his brother. But this statement was made here in 11. He says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And so when you're in reading the New Testament and you said that we heard from the beginning that you should love one another, what are you thinking about? First thing that would come to mind is where Jesus, you'd back up to Jesus where he said that we should love one another. But he said from the beginning that we should love one another. What beginning is he talking about? Verse 12 tells us, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. You see, the works that Cain did come from the evil that he had committed his mindset to, because he refused to give up that anger. And when he refused to give up that anger, not even God could reach him, but somebody reached him. The mark that was given Cain was to show that he was of the devil. He come from God, of course, but what happened was is that he got that anger and he would not let it go. He hated man. He hated his brother. He hated God, because God came to him and said, "Where's your brother?" And he said, "I don't know where he is." He didn't care that God Almighty was asking him. He was giving him a chance, and he didn't care. There's only one person that has that kind of hatred. So again, we see scriptures telling us a story, just like we saw in Matthew, that came, that goes back to what Cain put his hand to and what he put his mind to. And this is really important. I mean, have I shown that? Have I shown that Cain became angry? He held on to an anger that grew into evil, where he would not listen to God. He turned away from God. He didn't care about that. He killed his brother. He didn't care that he killed his brother. He just hated. He just hated. See, the Bible is showing us a story of a path that we're on, whether for it going to eternal life or eternal damnation. And everybody reads in Revelation 13, 16 through 18 about this mark. He calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. The point he's saying here is it doesn't matter who you are. You all could be in danger of this mark. Anyone can amass this type of anger. Just because you're rich doesn't mean that you're happy. And just because you're poor doesn't mean that you're unhappy. You understand? Just because I don't have everything that you have doesn't mean that I want and that I envy you. Just because you see all the things that I have doesn't mean you can't be happy for me, that you're not mad that I have a better station in life than some others, right? So he's telling you here, it doesn't matter where you come from, what your upbringing was, we're all in danger of this. To receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Why the right hands and the foreheads? See, we just talked about it. What they put their hand to, and it's what they had their mind on. And it was that anger. It was that hatred of God, hatred of man. The hate, the the anger that only Satan could produce, God brought out Cain. And he put a mark on him so that people knew him. And then he says later on, he says in Revelation that we're going to receive the same mark, and he tells us where that mark is from. Verse 17, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the number of the beast. See, the mark came from the beast or the number of his name. So, when it says buy or sell, what do we automatically think of? See, we always think of being able to pay for something or being able to... No. It's the mindset of this world. If you don't play their game, what's going to happen to you? The same thing with Jesus. The same thing that happened to him. You see, if you don't develop the mindset and the hatred of this world, they're going to expose you for what you are. They call you divisive and they say that you're different. And if you don't put your hands to the same thing, we want you to work 40, 50 hours a week so that you can make money, so that you can put it in the bank, so that you can buy this $70,000 truck that we're... They can't buy or sell because they stop playing the game and they start to decrease. Abel decreased to the point where he was killed. He wasn't going to do what Cain did. What did they talk about when they were out in the field? I have no idea. Did they even say anything? I don't know. But what Cain, the problem that God had with Cain, and we showed you he came to you before and he came to you afterward, he made it very clear that you have a choice whether if you were going to do this, and you made the choice to do this, and you received that mark. If you looked at somebody like, let's say you looked at somebody like Noah, and then you looked at somebody like King Ahab, whose wife was Jezebel, and it was adulterous relationships and fornication and idolatry and all these things that were going on. And you looked at Noah and you looked at King Ahab, who would you say had the mark of the beast on them? Well, you wouldn't say Noah did. Noah escaped this world. But you would have looked at the other person and said, they kind of act like the world. You see, this mark that they're talking about, it comes from two places. He says right here, let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the written number of man. His number is 666. Where you get that from? We don't think that it's so easy. There's been years and years of studying and theories and all this that man has tried to understand this number. Six is the day that man was created. It is a number of incompletion. It is a number of man without God. And if you go back, this is Revelation 13, and if you go back to the beginning of the 13th chapter of Revelation, it talks about a beast and it talks about another beast. The first beast it talks about is government. The second beast it talks about is the religion that comes in the name of Jesus, but it's by the dragon. So six, the number of man, governments run by men, and false teachings about Christ, all of these things. Man without God, government without God, religion without God. That's the 666. This is run by man, but who is behind them is Satan. Cain, who did what he did? He did, but who was behind him? Who was talking in his ear? Who did he listen to think that it was okay for him to bring his sacrifice instead of the examples that was given by his family, that was given by his brother, said that God showed us this is the sacrifice that makes him happy. It was the devil was behind this, and that's why he's behind this number. But this mark that they received was what we put our mind to, what we put our hands to, and you say it can't be that simple. Well, I could be wrong about all of this. I'm not wrong about the hatred about Cain. Connecting these two here, can the two marks be the same? I could be a little off on that. Like I told you in the beginning, this study might leave more questions than it does answers. But I don't believe in theory that these marks are too much different. God is warning us about what we put our minds to and what we put our hands to. Because this world is going to force us to make some choices. Choices that we don't have time for God anymore. Choices that we don't have time for our families anymore. I made that choice once. I was working all the time and I didn't have time for a son. and I regret it. Because I was busy doing something else, and he was growing up without his father. And then there's fathers who have children who see them that they don't have all the things because maybe they don't have such a great job. They don't have the means and all this. And so they leave their family to go off. See, God says, be careful where your mind is and where you put your hands to. Ecclesiastes says that this is a gift from God to be happy with where you're at, to enjoy the sunset, to eat the food that you have, to drink and be merry and go to sleep in what you've been given. He said, this is a gift from God if you can understand that and you can do that. But see, we don't do that. We always strive for more. We want our kids to have more than we had. We want our grandkids to have everything. I know when the grandkids come over, it's like when they're heading over, stop at the grocery store, whatever they want, get them, right? Well, all they want is, I don't care, right? I don't have to raise them. I don't have to, whatever they want, right? If they want to eat jelly beans and milkshakes and Pop-Tarts the whole time that they're there, then that's what they get. It's just a night. Grandparents spoil their kids, their grandkids, right? We don't have to raise them. Now, if they're there all week, we wouldn't let them do that. But overnight, oh, yeah, because then they want to come back, right? They want to keep coming back. And they have fun. But anyway, we got to be careful what we put our minds to and our hands to because, see, God is warning us that the devil is very slick and that he's going to bring in an anger because if you desire this life and God says, you cannot have that life, right? You don't think that God has warned people that trying to excel above where they're at is a bad thing? Just because you're excelling and doing well according to the world does not mean you're doing well according to God. And you don't think that he has warned people about this? But what do you think is going to happen when you desire this life and you God says you can't have this life? He tells you you're going to begin to love one and hate the other. And that's what happened with Cain. He began to love the darkness and hate the light because the light exposed his deed. And he said, I don't know where my brother is. He didn't want his deed exposed. So I'm telling you that these marks here, they're similar in nature. But I want you to understand this. Even after he did the act, God still came to him. And I believe he gave him a chance at redemption. Not that he would bring Abel back. He had to live with that consequence. Don't think that there's some mark that we're going to get or some chip or an implant or something that we're going to get that God's going to say, oh, that's it. It's what we put our minds to and what we put our hands to. That's what he said here because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. And the mindset of Cain was the hatred. And God even said, you have hatred. What I can see it in your face. What's wrong with you? So my question is, when the Bible's showing us all these examples, and in 1 John, he goes back to the beginning. He says, you've heard this message from the beginning that you should love one another, and you've also heard the story from old, you shall not murder. And both times, in both instances there, he begins to tell a story about a brother, about an altar, about a gift, about work, all of this stuff. And I believe he goes all the way back. And I believe these two marks are similar in nature. I have to do some study. There's some more things that go into this. But one thing is for sure, even if I'm off about that mark, is that the mark of Cain was given to him because he refused to relent. He had chosen that this is where he was going to put his mind to, and this was what he was going to work at. And when God comes into your life, we have to be willing to make those changes. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and told these people, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit, they had to go against the idea of the law, and they had to put their trust in this man. And that was difficult to do. Why did Cain not listen to God and Abel did? I don't know. Not all men have a problem with anger. You're not looking at one that doesn't have a problem with anger. And so when I look at studies that bring up, that really pinpoint and show what my anger could do to me and to my family, right? Yeah, I pay attention to them. It led Cain down a path where he had committed that this is what he was going to do was a hatred that he wasn't really willing to let go. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?